Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
I've woken up that way sometimes.
Where I've been. When the wife's really pissed at you. Just,
where am I? What happened?
It's such a great song, though.
Yeah, totally takes you back.
Oh, yeah.
Sets a picture and late 80s.
Production on this is just amazing also.
And from the sequel, you said, Young Guns 2.
Two.
Yeah.
Dos for our Spanish speakers in Indiana.
Right. I don't think part one had a hit song.
No, it didn't. I think their hit song was more. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Of course, happy Saturday to all of you guys in the room today. It's just the two of us. Hi. How you doing?
Hello.
Yeah, that's Forrest. I'm Sean.
That's Sean.
Yeah, and this is your Weekly Dose podcast.
Well, yeah, thank you very much for joining us today as we're streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you're new to Your Weekly Dose, this show is just about having fun. We're going to talk about the past week and what's ahead and hopefully make you laugh once or twice or hopefully more.
God, we hope so. And yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Live and all things that we experience in everyday life. You know, like the embarrassment things, the silly things, the awkward things, even the things that we're afraid of talking about, but damn it, we still do.
Because those are the things that connect us all and remind us that we're human. And, of course, the laughter, as they say, is the best medicine.
It is. And, of course, to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are a part of the show and join the conversation. You can do that several ways. Comment on each of our episodes on our website at yourweeklydose.com.
Or go on to Twitter and Instagram. But don't start fights with strangers. Post about at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at Your Weekly Dose.
Or send us a personal message through email, yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Absolutely. And we got a cool show for you guys today. It's going to be kind of off the cuff, but we got fun facts about drive-thru. We've also talking about tequila today, because National Tequila. The hottest men and women over 60 in Hollywood. It's also National Cousins Day. We might call a few of our own to wish them happy Cousins Day. And we're also going to be interviewing the director of a museum that actually my partner here went to, which is called, you know, I just dropped it.
The Lone Pine Museum.
Yeah, that thing.
Museum all about Western movies and awesome stuff there.
Yeah, the Museum of Western Film History is actually what it is there in Lone Pine, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Lone Pine, yeah, okay. So we talked to the director of that museum because it's really cool. You got to go to it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great place. I can't wait to talk to them.
Yeah, so it's going to be really fun to talk to them about the whole thing. So we've got a lot of fun. So hang out with us today. We can enjoy the rest of the show, guys.
And remember, you can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. Or if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search Your Weekly Dose. And, of course, please share with your friends and family what you think of the show. Rate and review it. to help support us. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, guys. And, of course, today's theme song is Blaze of Glory by the great John Bon Jovi, who apparently is singing out of tune lately for whatever reason. We don't know why. I don't know if you've watched the whole YouTube thing.
No, is he?
Yeah, he's like, ooh, it's not good.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's not good. Poor John. Yeah, he's kind of taking his toll, I think.
Really? It's got to, I mean, it's going on 40 years here of, 30 years of
living on a prayer.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But anyway, today's song, though, is Blaze of Glory, and this is in honor of National Cowboy Day. So that's our connection with this song here. And, of course, it is from the soundtrack or songs inspired by the movie Young Guns 2, also starring John Bon Jovi, and he gets shot and everything, which is kind of cool. So, but such a good song here. As we always say, guys, you know, with any of the songs that we play here on the show, you can always go to our main sponsor, which is Amazon. Just go to our website, click on the Amazon banner, bookmark it, and shop to your heart's delight. Mm-hmm. And buy anything you need, everything from John's catalog to, I don't know, John's underwear. You know, go for it. What the heck? You know, I'm sure there's things on there for him, you know, that are John Bon Jovi.
Lozenges, if your voice is...
Lozenges, yeah, things like that. Or, you know, autograph pictures, pics, or whatever. You can get them on Amazon, you know. It's easy to do. So just go ahead and do that. And that also helps support the show. Mm-hmm. Love it, love it, love it, love it. Should we catch up, buddy?
Let's do it.
All right. That was pretty good, man. That was like harmony kind of going on. That was kind of cool. So how was your week?
It was good. It was good. It flew by. It felt like we were just here, and that's a good thing. And, I made an investment in the show that you might be interested in.
Oh, dude.
And I have not checked the numbers on this Mega Millions that I'm holding.
Oh, my God. You know, I was going to do it because I heard what it was.
Upwards of
600 yeah. million. So I could only, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So it's gone up since last night. So I don't know. Should we do it?
Can we look up? Can we look up the numbers? Next week's episode could be in for a boost in the budget here.
That and we may not see you.
One of those
actually,
two
Forrest
things.
We may not see Forrest. You know,
one of two things.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. Let's do this.
We're gonna check the Mega Millions number.
Yeah.
For Friday, July 22nd. I went in big and got two of them. So that's $4 investment, and we're going to see how much money I won for the Your Weekly Dose budget.
Okay, so it looks like it went up to $660 million.
So does that mean already that we know I didn't win?
So the odds of winning is 1 in 302,575,350 people.
Boy. That sounds like the odds for me doing other things in life, too.
And because you immediately jump into that higher 1% bracket that live in America, then basically half your taxes are taken away.
Oh, my gosh.
But you still end up, though. That kind of sucks, though, too. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
It's like,
a good deal
I won
of it,
this much,
right?
Yeah, okay.
What are
all
you going right. to do with that money?
Yeah.
You going to fix our roads or something?
You better, damn it. Of course, that money should be going to our school because that's why we have the lottery
right.
here in California. Yeah, so the cash payout take home, you end up with $376 million, which is still a nice chunk of change.
Oh, my God. And what's the number range? Is it from 1 to 100? Is it all that?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. Okay.
But let's see here. Do we have the numbers?
They were up at the top there.
Were they?
Yeah.
Did I miss some?
Go up a little. Yeah. No, I thought they were right.
No.
Right there in black.
Oh, okay. Here we go. All right, so
it starts at 60.
Well,
no.
Okay. So here we go. Let's see. What do we need here? Breaking news!
Oh.
So I can see that three of the numbers are in the 60s, and I have no numbers in the 60s. So that's a bad start.
Okay, so let's move on then. All right, but for those of you guys listening, let's see. Here are the winning numbers for the Mega Millions drawing. 60!
Nope.
66!
Nope.
No, nothing?
Nope.
Nothing? Okay. 14!
Nope.
Boy, you know what? We're 3 for 3 right now, I'll tell you that. Yes. So we're winning. We're winning. All right. 40!
Negative.
Wow. All right. Okay. 64!
No. In Spanish?
And the bonus number is 16. How do we do, partner?
That's how we did.
That's how we did. All right.
I'll be here next week.
Thank God for me, man. Woo, boy, I almost thought I lost a partner there.
All right. Well, I tried.
Okay, yeah, you did. You did. You did all right, though. But you got to try. You got to play, because if you don't play, you can't win.
You don't win. That's what they say.
Exactly.
That's how they get us to keep coming back.
Those bastards.
You know, you're at the donut shop, you get some donuts, you get an energy drink, and then you see the number, 600 million. And then
all of a sudden they tell you,
how about new?
New.
You crazy Dutch bastard.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Yeah.
Well, that was my week. How was your week?
Wow, that was it?
That was it. It was all riding on that.
Oh, wow. Let's see. What did I do? Went out, played. That was good. Let's see. What else did I do this week? Oh, got myself booked a couple more gigs, coming up, which is kind of nice. Earning a little extra cash under the table. Shh, don't tell nobody. And let's see. Oh, my son, Roman, went to a camp this week it's a music camp, basically. Mm. So, and last night was his performance.
Oh.
So they did very, very well.
Cool.
So, and it was kind of cool, too, because four of the kids are friends of his from high school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of see the four of them get together and help each other and what have you.
That's cool.
And then he played piano on a couple of songs. He sang lead on a couple of songs. And one of the songs that he played piano on, it was an original piece that one of his classmates that she wrote.
Did they write it during the week?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Wow. You can write a song pretty fast, I guess, if you need to.
Yeah. I mean, you can. You're like, oh, my knee hurts. Don't do that again. You know.
That's a song.
That's a song. You know. You know. It's a Jewish song, though. But, you know, I feel less than usual. They did, and I guess they had other people kind of come in and help them and kind of help guide them, you know, bands and working musicians and so forth. They didn't ask for me, but that's okay. That's all right. I'm not hurt. No, not hurt.
Well,
no.
you were out of their price range, probably.
Yeah, that's it. That was out of the price range. So, but no, he did great. You know, he did really, really well. And then to see his friends that, you know, he's with in choir with also and everything, to see them perform out of choir. Mm. And I kind of went, whoa, when did his balls drop? You know, I mean, it was like, holy damn, he's got a voice on him.
But you you shouted that out during the performance, that was kind of awkward for people, right?
Especially when his sister was up. Yeah. So, you know, right. But no, I was really surprised to hear some of their voices, because, you know, you see them in the choir, you hear them in the choir. So you really don't, as individuals, you don't get to see, unless they have a solo.
Gotcha.
You really don't get to appreciate, you know, what their voices are. And all four of them, I mean, just amazing. And, you know, I was like, wow, I was really, really impressed. So, and then they had some kids, you know, who were
right,
you know, singing or whatever. And of course, this is done at a church, so it's not really the best acoustics. You know, for drums or guitars and everything. Because it was like a full band kind of a thing, too, and everything.
I thought they built churches with acoustics in mind. Like for
this one was built, like, in the 50s, so,
They didn't care.
There was no... It was more of, like, you know, regular choir stuff than having instruments in there back in those days.
Acoustics are from the devil.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There ain't no jungle music in here.
Oh, man. Yeah, some kids, you got to get that voice out. Pull it out of them. And
and all four of them did wonderful.
Nice.
They really did a great. Like I said, there's two of his friends, our brother and sister, and those are me hearing them for the first time separate, you know, by themselves doing their own thing. Great voice. I was really surprised. Mm-hmm. Going, holy crap, Jacob's all right. You know, it's like, take those four or whatever, go reform ABBA, you know, and they can do well.
I think one ABBA is enough.
Just don't sing Fernando. Okay. That's like my least favorite song.
Agreed.
That's my least favorite song. So, yes. But other than that, I mean, like they all did really, really well. And then last night, of course, and the reason why it's just you and I today, both Nia and Casey, all three of us were working on Nia's film project.
Nice.
And we were filming it at a bar last night called Lucky John's, where I know the owner, Trevor. Thank you, Trevor.
Thank you.
And so got there about 9 o'clock was call time, and they filmed all the way until about 5 in the morning.
Ooh.
So they only needed me there until about 1:30 or so. Okay. And so it wasn't too bad because we did a lot of exterior shots first, got those done. And then we had to wait till the bar closed so they can go inside and do the interior shots.
Okay.
For it. So, and it was a lot of fun. You know, a lot of standing around. Got to talk to some of the kids there and give advice on films and stuff. And like, how do you be a grip? What does a grip really do? Sitting around and wait and get paid for it. That's what you...
A lot of film is sit around
and wait.
Yeah.
I was telling him that. It's kind of like the old hurry up and wait kind of thing.
Yes,
That's the Hollywood theme.
Right, right. I don't know what you call it, but you realize it's not all fun and games on a film set. It's a lot of waiting, a lot of time goes into it.
Well, and that's just to set up one shot, you know, because you're talking about not only just setting up the camera, but setting up the lights. Is the lighting right? Is it not right? Do we have the right aperture of this, you know, for the camera? Are the lights at the right temperature to create the scene that we want?
And at the exact moment everything's right, a helicopter comes over or a plane flies overhead and hold.
Or somebody walks into the scene that's not supposed to be there.
Right. Somebody, you know, are you making a movie? Somebody walks up, right?
Yeah, always. And There was a few transients there last night and around.
Mm.
And matter of fact, we even had paramedics called because one of them called 911 or whatever. So, and luckily, you know, the engine was kind of quiet coming in, but we could hear them far away. It's like, we got to wait. Oh, they're coming to the parking lot.
Yeah.
This is not good. Where are they going to park?
Yeah.
You know, and luckily they parked in an area that we weren't shooting or anything. Mm. So.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But cool. So did that last night. So that's why the girls aren't here, because they were in the wee hours of the morning. And then, of course, with Casey's boyfriend, Mateo, he had surgery yesterday on his nose. So he's not doing good right now.
We wish him well.
Absolutely, yes. So because they're really worried about the hemorrhaging through the nose and everything.
Yeah.
So, but he had surgery to help clear his nose. Basically, I guess, like, inside the membrane, it's kind of swollen up or whatever, so they did a Roto-Rooter thing.
Oh, boy.
Oof. So.
The thought of that just
rather just spray saline up my nose and just go, I'm having a good day, and carry it with me all day long. You know, people go, is Sean doing drugs?
He's doing that saline.
He's doing that saline. That evil saline is what is going on up his nose. It's not as good as the cocaine, but it's the saline.
Right. I went down to the saline from the cocaine.
Yeah. And then, but it was really funny, too. Well, did my mic go out all of a sudden?
Or? You're good. I think, well.
Oh, okay. All of a sudden, I couldn't hear myself. That's why, too.
Yeah.
But it was really funny because there was this girl that played fiddle, and they almost did like a country backbeat to her song. Going back to Roman's thing. Sorry.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I just lean over to Karen. I go, Devil went down to Georgia.
And you started laughing. I'm just like, okay, all right, we're done.
He's looking for a soul.
Yeah. So, but no, it was a good week. Oh, and then I forgot. I met this guy when I performed last week at Mamba's, and he was using looper pedals on his rig and everything with his acoustic guitar. So I got to meet him at his house, and he kind of helped me figure out my rig and everything so I can start learning how to use looper pedals when I go out and perform too.
And what does a looper pedal do exactly?
What does it do? Well,
to a novice like myself,
basically what it takes you, let's say you play a riff and it records the riff, and then when you stop playing the riff, you hit the pedal again, and now it just makes it into a constant loop. Over and over and over and over.
It repeats it.
Oh. And then I can continuously layer things on that. Or I can then just, let's say, riff over it, solo over it, or sing over it, or whatever I want.
Are there any famous songs that do this sort of effect?
Yes. Actually, we played it last week.
Huh?
Which is Kitty Tunsil, Black Horse and the Cherry Tree.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So if you look at her live version of it, she creates it
in the
loop. You know what? Let's see if we can pull it up real quick, and I'll show you.
Okay.
Let's see here. Let's go to YouTube. Talks amongst yourselves, people.
Search at home. Go to yourweeklydose.com. So a looper. So it kind of does some work for you, and you don't have to do it.
Yeah, and you create, like I said, that a small loop or whatever, and it just repeats it over and over, and then you keep layering it until, you know, you've got whatever you want for the song, and then you just kind of sing over it.
Okay.
Basically, so, and Kitty Tunsil was one of the first people that I saw use a looper to create the song.
Okay.
Let's see. Black Horse and the Cherry Tree. Yeah, here we go. And let's get through the commercial here. So everything you're hearing is through...
Hi, I'm Katie Tunstall, and you're watching me on Rolling Stone Originals.
Yeah, you are. You're on Rolling Stone Originals.
Is she Irish? Oh. She just stepped on a pedal.
So, right. So that's her hitting the guitar to create the beat.
There goes that pedal again.
So now she's hitting the tambourine. That scrapey here is the strings.
Woo-hoo.
It's just
Woo-hoo.
Her up there. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo.
That's so cool when you can just strip down a song to it, to just that, and it's still a great song.
Right.
Yeah.
And now she starts the song itself.
Oh, and the woohoos are still going.
Right.
Wow.
Because she recorded that.
Well, my heart knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let it do all the talking.
Wow. Now that strumming you're hearing right now, that's her playing the guitar.
Oh, that's really cool.
I feel a little fear upon my back. Said, don't look back, just keep on walking.
So meanwhile, everything else that she created is in the background.
Wow.
And it just loops again over and over.
That's really cool because it's like all the bells and whistles, but then you watch this and you're like, this person's really talented, like really, really good. Oh, very cool.
So
you're gonna start using that a little more?
So try to incorporate that, you know. And so there's certain songs that you can pick and choose or whatever to help create those rhythms or whatever underneath it. So, and it's a little bit more entertaining that way too, because now it feels more like a one-man band.
Yeah, it gives like a fuller experience for the audience too. That's cool.
Exactly.
That's cool.
So, one thing before we kind of move on though. Definitely want to announce, we were speaking of Kitty Tunsil, last week we put out a thing for a contest to about winning one of our T-shirts.
We did.
And so we do have a winner who emailed us, Melissa Nelson. I forgot where she's from, though. Forgive me, Melissa. For winning the Weekly Dose T-shirt, for getting our question correct of what do Katie Tunsil and Jeff Swampy Marsh have in common? And, of course, the answer is that Katie Tunsil voiced a character on Pete the Cat, which is a TV animation show that you can see on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. So, and Swampy is the executive producer on that show.
Nice.
So, and Katie has been one of the many people to come in and voice one of the characters for that.
Congratulations, Melissa.
Yeah. Good job. You were listening to the show. See how many people are listening to this show? I don't know.
Right.
What the hell?
I'm listening.
I don't know. You got to listen. You got to figure out what the heck we're going to say next, you know. So, all right. So, let's switch it back over here. So, but yeah, so that's what a looper does. Really nice guy. His name is Jabe. And I didn't question it. So, and God taught me, and he uses, I think, something similar to what Katie Tunsil was using, but he uses two pedals, one pedal for the beat itself. And then a second pedal to do all the layering for the guitars. And what's kind of cool is that they're linked together. Mm-hmm. So they stay in synchronization with one another.
Yeah.
Because sometimes if you have two pedals and they're not synced, then it kind of goes off.
Oh.
The timing goes off. And you know, and that's not good.
All hell breaks loose.
Yeah. And then you have a drummer like Pete Best, you know. And
We know what happened to him.
He got the elbow. The old Spanish archer there from the Beatles.
Oh.
Yeah, poor Pete, poor you know. Pete. But you know what, Pete? You got a street named after you, you know.
Did he?
So, yeah, he did.
Oh.
Yeah. Just outside of Liverpool. Wasn't in Liverpool.
It was
just outside of Liverpool.
It was a dead-end street?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh.
Pretty much a dead-end street there, so... Yeah, it is what it is.
Hmm.
So, let's go ahead and do that. So we've got, today actually is, I was kind of surprised, and there is a thing for everything, National Drive-Thru Day. And, wow, you know, I think that drive-thrus have been around for years.
I mean, in our lifetime.
And they actually have.
Yeah.
They actually have. Now, do you know what year that the drive-thru actually opened?
Not until I read it here on our sheet. I would not have guessed this.
Neither would I.
I would have thought like the 50s or because I think of the drive-in or the...
Which is a little bit different, though.
Roller skating waitresses and that sort of thing. You know, we used to have one of those around here called Frisco's where they'd come on the...
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, Downey, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
you know
yes,
that
yes,
one?
Yes, yes,
yeah,
yeah,
the old sock hop kind of style. And
was it on Stewart and Gray, I think?
It was near there, yeah. On Woodruff. And I heard from a friend that worked there that like they were having too many accidents with the waitresses like falling.
Well, they're idiots, you know.
Well, you know, and then of course rollerblading just killed that industry. But they got rid of it.
Because you have to use the quads.
Yeah, so they don't have a. It wasn't, I guess, sensible to just keep doing it.
But I mean, I remember too early on when I was younger. And I don't know if you remember because you know we're around the same age. Where like A&W root beers would have them also when we were kids.
Yeah.
See, that was my first experience.
Yeah, those have really gone away. I know of maybe one A&W left.
There's a couple left, but now they're more walk-ins.
And they're just, exactly.
Yeah, they're more of the walk-ins. Like,
So this says that the very first drive-thru opened in 1947, and it was a Red's Giant Hamburg. Hamburg as in the, as in Germany, yeah?
Yeah. Jawohl.
It was just off Route 66, so it made it work without the car hops leading to what we know today.
Yeah, and that's what like the A&Ws were, or the Frisco's was car hop.
Yes.
When they come out, you know, or like we would see on Happy Days, the TV show.
Right.
You know, so a little bit different. Now, if you want the quickest and best service, they say go early in the afternoon, so at least... that's where the least amount of people go between lunch and dinner, so you can just kind of breeze right on in.
Interesting. The fastest line through a drive-thru apparently is Wendy's. Your wait time with the ginger goddess averages around 130 seconds.
Mm-mm.
The slowest, BK, not the king of
well,
speed,
you know why, though?
Oh, tell me.
Well, they're all flame broiled, man. It takes time.
It takes time to flame.
You know, because they're making it your way.
They are they?
They're making your way, brother. So it takes time. Yes. Oh, I want them to flip that slowly over. I want those lines on both sides.
They just got that barbecue going. Exactly. Wow.
Exactly.
I don't know. Yeah, they want you to think that, but okay, all right.
They just draw them on with a marker. That's what they
right,
do.
Right. That Sharpie.
Yeah. Now, what's really ironic, though, is, and of course, I don't know, I guess it's because their background, I don't know, but they get the most orders correct, though, is Chick-fil-A. The most accurate.
You know, I believe that.
Yeah. Well, they respond to a higher source. So.
They do, right? They take Sundays off and they prepare all.
They prepare
all Sunday.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. They run it well. Them and In-N-Out to me run it really well. Like, no matter which one you go to, they're real consistent.
Dude, I've seen In-N-Outs like last night even when we had a break at 1 o'clock in the morning. In-N-Out was still open.
Yeah.
And the kids did a Grubhub. Run or whatever, you know, from In-N-Out. And I'm going, holy crap, really?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure there was a line, too.
Yeah. Every time I drive by, it's, I mean, at least 20, 30 cars.
That's funny. Yeah. In-N-Out is a late night kind of drive-through place, you know.
It's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Go to sleep.
Nope. Those kids are out there.
We're hungry.
Right?
We got
right?
people to feed.
Well, dining in isn't the cash cow there. The drive-through is where 70% of business comes from. 70% of their business comes from the drive-through.
Yeah.
So it's in their best interest to add those drive-up windows.
Mm-hmm. It is. Now, here's the thing that shocked me, though. But it makes sense, though, because I think about it, you know, through all the years and everything. You know, when you think of drive-through, sometimes the first restaurant you think of is McDonald's.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, McDonald's was the first to have breakfast. They were the first to do this or do that or whatever. They didn't have a drive-thru until 1975.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I have memories of much different McDonald's as a kid than they are today. Like with the playground, with like a total like elaborate playground in the back, and we could go in there and play, and sitting down or the toys they'd give you for a Happy Meal would be like books or glasses, you know, not these cheap plastic toys.
Oh yeah,
like they've really changed a lot.
Yeah, they've gotten worse.
Basically,
and you're right, because I remember the books. It was like classic books, like Wizard of Oz.
You get Moby Dick
I have some of those.
Yeah,
still.
Yeah, the little
yeah.
I have those too, and it's just like they were trying to culture kids
right.
and do good. You know,
I have Tom Sawyer, The Wizard of Oz, and I think Moby Dick. And because there was five.
Yeah, they'd give you classics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember those. Those were cool.
And now it's like, here's this Marvel plastic toy that's going to break in a day or two.
And not only that, though, but when they gave you an actual glass, it was glass.
It was glass. And I had some of those for a while, too.
Yeah. With the characters on it or a certain movie.
I had
the Batman ones, like Batman Forever.
Mm-hmm.
I have
the
mugs for those still.
Yeah. That was like, it was almost, dare I say,
or
nice.
Or even a Coca-Cola glass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
those
were
cool.
It was almost nice to go to McDonald's. Like, oh, I'm going to get a book and a glass.
And educate myself.
I'm sophisticated.
Yeah. right? It's like, now, screw it. Yeah, no way.
Driving through and honking at people. Give me my nuggets.
That's funny. Yeah.
So 1975, huh?
1975 is when McDonald's finally did it. And the first one was actually in Sierra Vista, Arizona. Now, other fast foods like Jack in the Box, In-N-Out, Maid Ryan had already been doing that already a little bit, though. They've been in the game for a little bit, but McDonald's didn't do it till later on.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And lest we say that drive-thrus are just for fast food, they're not. We love the burgers and fries, but we love convenience. So there are other businesses that have adapted to this drive-thru. We're not just talking about wedding chapels. Some of them include strip clubs, which is interesting, if you're in a hurry. Funeral parlors, prayer booths. I've seen those on the side of the road there. Christmas nativity in Christmas time. Art galleries, liquor and gun stores, because this is America. And
that scares me right there.
Yeah, right?
A drive-through gun store.
I'm
being chased by the police. What do you got?
A gun and some vodka.
Wow.
Good combo there. And in case all the rest of those go horribly wrong, a drive-through law firm.
That actually can work, yeah. I just robbed a bank, and I got the gun from the liquor store across the street. What do I do?
This certainly tells a story here. Like,
stop robbing banks!
You could pray, though, in between all of those sins that you're committing.
Yeah, you go through all the different drive-thru things, yeah. Whatever. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It does tell a story. There's a bit there, I think.
Yes, there is, right?
Definitely a bit there.
Okay.
All right. Well, you know what? We need to go ahead and call because we were wanting to talk to the museum.
Yes.
So let's go ahead and give them a call here.
See. Awesome, awesome.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic...
No! I don't want to go to an automatic...
Oh, no!
Okay.
That's just the suspense we're building up here.
Yeah.
Lizzie Gullick, director of the Lone Pine Film Festival at the Museum of Western Film History. This is a...
You know what? We should change the music for her.
Oh, get some Western music going here?
Okay, Lizzie, turn on your phone. We're going to try calling again here. There we go. That's ringing.
Hi.
Hi, Lizzie. How are you?
Hi, Forrest. I'm fine.
This is Sean and Forrest here from your Weekly Dose.
Hi, Lizzie. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you guys?
We are doing wonderful this morning. First of all, thank you so much for coming on to our show. We wanted to, talk with you guys because, I don't know if you're aware of it, but today's also National Cowboys Day.
Yes.
And so we figured what better place than to go to a museum that celebrates Western film history and talk to the director of that.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I have to tell you that we always bill our museum as the Lone Pine, the place where real history, R-E-E, meets the real West, R-E-E-L,
uh-huh.
meets the real West, R-E-A-L.
Got it. Oh, I love the play on words.
Now, that's some good advertising there.
Well, because, you know, it is movies are not quite exactly what the real West was, but it's what Hollywood imagines the real West to be.
Mm. Yeah. Very true.
Yes, and we have lots of amazing memorabilia from the different actors that have worked there. They've shot well over 400 films.
Oh, my gosh.
In the Alabama Hills, which are, you know, right at Lone Pine.
Uh-huh. And so when we go there, Lizzie, what is it exactly are we going to see when we walk in the door?
Initially, when you first walk in the door right now, our main display in the lobby, we have two main displays in the lobby, which are a bunch of cameras. And old types of film cameras,
oh, wow.
including a really interesting three-strip Technicolor camera, which was used in 1932, it actually has red, blue, and green film that goes in there.
Mm.
So it can make a type of a color film.
Oh, wow.
Very early type of color film. And then we have the dentist's wagon, Dr. Schultz King's wagon from Django Unchained.
Oh, very cool.
Yes. And Quentin Tarantino, they shot scenes in Lone Pine there and the snow scenes just a little north of Lone Pine. And he donated us the wagon and he also donated his director's chair and some other memorabilia, you know?
Yeah.
That is that's really neat.
Yeah, that's just in the main lobby. And then we also have like a giant poster from the 101 Ranch, which was in Oklahoma. And they did early on movies, silent movies, with real Native Americans and real cowboys on their ranch.
Hmm.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. I remember when I was able to visit and I loved it and saw so many good things. I saw cars. I saw like full costumes from sets. And I was wondering, what are some of the popular items come to mind that people always want to take pictures of or check out?
Well, we have the car from High Sierra that Humphrey Bogart drove in High Sierra, which is very cool.
Yeah.
And that's not exactly a Western, but there have been a lot of films, not Western, shot in the area. We have a graboid from the film Tremors, which is one of the big sandworms.
Oh, yeah. That was Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Exactly. 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, baby.
Yeah, that's it. Then we have Iron Man shot there. You know, the scene where he goes, gentlemen, I give you Jericho, and the mountains explode behind him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's Lone Pine.
Wow.
And
oh, okay.
With Robert Downey Jr., that was the first Marvel film, mm-hmm, right, in the mm-hmm. whole series
right,
to
yeah.
kick off the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
And we have boots from people. We have one of Hopalong Cassidy's hats. William Boyd starred as Hopalong Cassidy, and I'm not old enough. I remember him from TV, not the films, but he was a very smart businessman, and he bought his films and reissued them for television. And he shot like 31 films in the Lone Pine area. John Wayne shot 12 films up there.
Really?
Gene Autry shot 18 films.
Wow.
And William Boyd, it's so interesting. He was such a smart businessman as Hopalong Cassidy. He actually licensed like 4,000 different items. So we have a lot. When you were a kid, you could buy like a Hopalong Cassidy outfit or a bicycle or, you know, trading cards, things like that. And he licensed like 4,000 of those things. And we have a nice collection of those kind of items, which is really kind of funky. Then we have like guns that belong to some of the cowboy stars like Roy Rogers and Dale Evans.
Those are worth millions, I bet. Yeah, some of those guns.
We have John Wayne's coat from The Shootist, which was his last film.
Oh.
You know, we have, it's just an interesting, eclectic, you know, we have a display of the singing cowboys, which were like Gene Autry and Roy Rogers and Tex Ritter and Rex Allen, and a display on stuntmen, because there were some very famous Western stuntmen like Yakima Kinnett and Richard Farnsworth. Just some really kind of interesting stuff. And then we do a big fundraiser in June called Concert in the Rocks, and we bring bands up from Los Angeles, and you have a sit-down dinner out in the rocks with the band performing for you.
Oh, wow.
Which is very cool.
Oh, yeah, that must be beautiful.
Who do you have coming up right now, Lizzie?
This year we had Matt Mauser, who does Frank Sinatra, and we did Frank Sinatra's big band with Matt Mauser. His wife was the basketball coach who was killed in the helicopter crash with Kobe Bryant.
Oh wow. Okay.
But he's an amazing performer and does a lot of stuff in Vegas. So we were very lucky to get him. Mm. But it changes every year who we have. Mm. And then every fall, which I am the director of, we do a film festival in Lone Pine in the Indigenous Peoples Weekend in October. And like this year, I have Patrick Wayne, John Wayne's son, and Christopher Mitchum, Robert Mitchum's son. They were in Big Jake with John Wayne. We are showing Big Jake, and we have them. They're coming, and Claude Jarman Jr. is coming. He was the kid in The Yearling.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That movie. Mm-hmm. And he was also in Rio Grande with John Wayne.
Oh, boy.
And anyway, so we have some guests come. We have guests come and we film. We do screenings of films. And then you can actually see a film like a Hopalong Cassidy. And then we have a tour guide that takes you out in the rocks and shows you where that film was shot.
That's so cool.
Oh, actual locations. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and we do different kinds of tours. We have like one on geology, so you learn how, with an actual geologist who takes you out and tells you how the arches were formed, because they have these big arches made out of the rocks, you know, which is like a big giant rock with a hole in the middle of it. It's very interesting stuff.
Lizzie, how did the museum get started? Who's the person who kind of got this thing off the ground and made it what it is?
Well, the film festival started in 1989 with Dave Holland, Carrie Powell, and Packy Smith. And they did that for a few years. And then Jim Rogers, he owned a television and radio kind of network in the Southwest. And he had a huge collection of like cars and things. And he got together with the festival people, and they built a museum, which opened in 2006. And he loaned us lots of things. We used to have a rotating thing from his collection, but he unfortunately has since passed away, but did donate several cars to us. We have a car from Trail to San Antone that Gene Autry jumps over that car on a horse.
Okay.
And we have that car in our museum.
We don't have the horse, but we got the car that the horse jumped over, though.
That's really cool.
Yeah, people were in the car, too. We did an interview once with Peggy Stewart, who she just did a lot of Westerns for, like, Republic Pictures and stuff, and she was in the car when the horse jumped over, and somebody asked her, did you look up? And she goes, oh, no, I just kept way down low.
Yeah, I so would I.
Kept praying.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But if you do go around the corner, we do have Trigger sitting there, too, by the way.
We don't, unfortunately. No. We don't, unfortunately. No. Trigger is—he's somewhere back east.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I'm looking on the internet right now at a couple of the pictures of inside the museum. I mean, and you have so many wonderful artifacts, in there, and it is really amazing what you guys have. And Lone Pine. I mean, I didn't know how many films, were filmed up in that area.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're constantly filming things. A lot of the newer things, Gladiator shot some scenes there. Iron Man, obviously. Firefly, the TV series, Firefly shot some there.
Some Star Wars, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yes, and Star Trek. In fact, this year at the film festival, Star Trek Voyager shot two episodes there.
Really?
And we have the first assistant director who has directed those scenes is going to be one of our guests to talk about that tour this year.
Yeah.
Star Trek, Star Wars shot some stuff there. Have Gun Will Travel, that TV series. Star Trek Generations shot there.
Wow.
Just some pretty amazing stuff. Of course, Tremors.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to ask now, Lizzie.
Yeah.
Was Back to the Future 3 shot up there?
No.
Oh!
I know.
I figure with a name like Lone Pine,
I know.
Because that was the name of the mall at the end of the first film, thinking, maybe they shot, all the rail scenes up there.
Now, maybe they did pickup shots there or something, but not major filming.
I see.
Well, we're still going to tell people that they did.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's so interesting because I used to work at Republic Pictures, and one of the first jobs I had was to pull pictures of films that were shot there. And Iverson Ranch, it just has more trees, but it's very hard to tell sometimes if it was Iverson or Lone Pine. Oh. In fact, we have experts when we're looking for films to do tours on and stuff. We have guys who compare photos and who actually go out and try to find these places, to make sure that it was shot there. Because it's very hard to tell sometimes.
Mm.
And Lone Pine is so cool. It's only like 3 hours, 3.5 hours north of Los Angeles.
It's not 3 hours
and it's
north,
like you're in a total different world.
Definitely.
Cary Grant shot there. Douglas Fairbanks Jr., they shot Gunga Din out there.
Wow.
It's been all kinds of foreign places, It looks, you can make it be anywhere. Yeah, I mean, Star Trek Voyager made it be some, out planet, outer in outer space.
a deserted planet. Oh, yeah, you could do a lot out there. It was beautiful to visit. I loved it.
By the same token, it is just gorgeous there, and it's so beautiful just to go out in the rocks. We have a tour that we do at sunrise. You just go sit out in the rocks. We have send coffee and muffins, and you can just sit there and watch the sun come up on the mountains, and they glow pink. And of course, Mount Whitney is there, which is, the tallest mountain in the contiguous United States.
Yeah. There's Bishop not too far from there, quite a few places to visit, and our audience
great
to hear.
Great fishing. Yes,
yeah.
Great fishing, fabulous hiking and camping.
Yeah.
But the museum is kind of a little world all its own. It's like Hollywood came to Lone Pine,
Mm-hmm.
It's which is how I got involved, and it's just different. But it's not super huge. It's, a couple hours maybe. you know, so it's not like an all-day thing or something.
Yeah.
But the festival is really fun because we have a lot of, you know, we get guests and show films. And
both old and new films?
Both old and new. This year we're showing Slow Burn, which was Minnie Driver, Josh Brolin, and James Spader, which shot almost entirely in the Alabama Hills. Just the last two scenes where they went to the great, you know, the salt flats in Utah, but the whole rest of the film is shot in Lone Pine, and it's really amazing. They went all over the place. It's, you know, it's an interesting film.
And what are the dates for the film festival?
The film festival this year are October 6th through 9th.
Nice.
I say road trip.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to check that out.
I say road trip,
dude.
Yeah. Yes.
We would, I mean,
I'll get you press passes.
You know, press pass. You know what? I would love to honestly go up there and broadcast from up there and walk through the museum, too. Yeah. I mean, that would be really cool.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot to
I would
see.
Be glad to arrange it for you.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that would be awesome. So much fun, Lizzie. Because, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Westerns. And part of the reason is that growing up here in Southern California, you know, we have Knott's Berry Farm, of course.
And
I was always intrigued by the cowboys. Because, I mean, they were, of course, back then, they were like huge men to me. And it's always scared the crap out of me, you know, and especially when they robbed the train, you know, and stuff and what have you. But so, and then years later, I ended up being one of those people, the train bandit, and working at Knott's, you know, going, okay, and then I got involved with an organization that started around the same time, which is called SAS, and it stands for the Single Action Shooter Society.
I'm aware of them.
And so, you know, now I just turned 50 a couple of years ago, and my wife was kind of like, well, what do you want to do for your midlife crisis? You know, kind of a thing. I said, you know, I wouldn't mind getting back into SAS again and doing the competitions. And because I just love it. It's a cosplay for cowboys is what it is.
Yeah. I totally love it. Well, we're cosplay. We have a costume contest the first night of the festival. We do a big barbecue in the parking lot of the museum and then go across the street and have a costume contest and screen a movie with a Q&A afterwards.
Okay.
And we give cash prizes for costumes.
Wow.
So. Oh, that's awesome.
That's really cool.
Dude, I'm dressing up. I'm dressing up. I'm bringing my guns and I'm dressing up, baby.
I know. You know, we have lots of fun, and I totally get what you're saying. I grew up on all those Westerns on TV, and I remember when I started working on CBS Radford, that lot, it's the old Republic Studio lot, and I worked at Republic Pictures before I went there, so I became like the unofficial lot historian because I knew all about all the Republic stars, you know, John Wayne and Gene Autry and Roy Rogers. And yeah, I knew about all that stuff. And I used to console myself when I'd walk 40 acres from my parking space to my office.
There was no
Roy
golf
Rogers
carts?
No, I wasn't at a level to get a golf cart. Not at first, anyway.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, it's so exciting. You know, I got to meet Roy Rogers and Clayton Moore, the Lone Ranger. And, you know, the opening sequence of the Lone Ranger, the TV show, when he's riding his silver at the beginning when they're playing the William Tell Overture, that's Lone Pine. He's riding.
Wow.
That's cool.
I know. And you know, there were so many because it was so close to Hollywood, there were so many films that shot up there because it could be, you can do a camera setup and facing like west and just basically turn to the east or turn south and it looks like a whole different location. You don't even have to move your setup basically.
Jeez.
You know, it's an amazing place to shoot. I mean, if you're into film production in any kind of way.
You know what? When we get off, I will try, or we'll contact you again, Lizzie. But there is a very funny story with Clayton Moore that I want to send you.
Okay.
That I think you would definitely enjoy this story.
I love that kind of thing. Yeah. I just totally love that kind of thing.
And Jay Thomas, the actor, was also in radio. And it's when he first started in radio, and it has to do with him taking Clayton Moore back to the hotel.
and getting involved in a car accident. So, and Jay Thomas tells the story beautifully, so I don't want to ruin the whole thing. And the thing was that for years, David Letterman would have Jay Thomas come back every Christmas and tell this story.
Tell that story.
It's so good. So we'll send you the link for you so you can watch it. So
I totally love it.
But yeah, I mean, I got involved with the Westerns because of Knotts and everything. And then, of course, at that time, the TV show The Young Riders was out. And then, of course, you had Young Guns. And then later on, Young Guns 2 came out, you know, and you had Silverado, which was a big Western hit and everything. So that was all part of my culture as a young, you know, gentleman, 19, 20, 21 years old. And to this day, I mean, I love a good Western.
And, I do, too.
And there's
I totally agree.
Yeah, and there's so many out there right now. And it's funny because we have not Netflix, but what is the other one that we've got? Or maybe, maybe it is Netflix. I can't remember. One of the subscribing ones. But where the original a lot of original movies that they've got, there's a lot of good Westerns that are on that network kind of thing. And I was like, I was really surprised.
You know,
where a lot of these independent films are being made, you know, like on Hulu or Netflix or Amazon or whatever. And, you know, and I've come across at least 7 or 8 films where I go, oh, can I download that? You know, kind of thing. It's such a good film.
Yeah.
And it tells a great story.
I know. Well, you know, Randolph Scott shot 13 films up there with, you know, he worked a lot with Bud Bedeker, the director, and Burt Kennedy, the writer. And, you know, his movies, I mean, we screened, I think, Hangman's Knot last year because we had Claude German Jr., who's in that, as one of our guests. And, you know, I mean, just the amount of the movies, they made really good movies out there. Henry Fonda shot out there. Jimmy Stewart shot out there. You know, John Wayne a million times, you know, not a million times, but 12 movies out there.
Right.
I mean, you know, they made a lot of really good films out there.
And not only that, though, but I mean, there's a lot of good Westerns still being made. I mean, like even like some of the remakes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I really.
Like 3:10 to Yuma.
Yes.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was a good remake. I also really enjoyed The Magnificent Seven, the newer version of that. I really did enjoy that. I mean, it's a similar story, but it's a little bit different of why he goes into the town and so forth and everything. And, you know, I really enjoy it, you know, and I love those type of films, you know.
Me too, actually. And I guess it's because of being a kid or something, you know. I and growing up with the cowboys, I don't know, but it does have a special place.
For me, it's always, I think, the romance of everything, you know, and of the stories that we have heard or whatever, you know. And yes, there are these vicious killers and they're bandits or whatever, you know. But then the way they're portrayed on film, they make them a little bit softer or this or that and kind of, you know, open us up like going, hey, they're people too, you know. They just had you know, temper tantrums and they shot you.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah, exactly, you know. But like, I mean, like one of my favorites is Tombstone.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, have that movie poster actually.
You know, when I sit down, I mean, if that's on, I have to sit down and watch the whole damn thing. I don't care where I'm at.
Right.
I have to watch the whole thing.
Right.
You know, and I still believe Val Kilmer got robbed of an Academy Award that year.
I do too. I think I agree. I think he's marvelous. He's he's really fantastic in that movie.
Yeah. Well, everybody.
We're showing this year the festival. We're showing Guns of the Magnificent Seven.
Is that a sequel?
It's one of the sequels.
Yes, one of the sequels?
Yes, it's one of the sequels, and because we have Monty Markham, I've been trying to reach Joe Don Baker. You know, because he was in that as well, but have so far been unsuccessful in finding him, being able to contact him to see if he would be able to come to the festival this year. But Monty Markham is definitely coming, and he's pretty amazing. He's done so many things. Interesting actor, you know, actor, awesome. Producer, writer, director. He does it all.
Wow. That's great. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
People, Lizzie, if people want to go up to the museum, let's say, you know, we've got the weekend going on, they want to come up and see you, you guys, what are the hours and how much does it cost to get in?
Okay, the museum is open. We have summer hours and winter hours. In the summer, it's open 10 to 5, every day of the week. During the winter, it changes. They close earlier. They close at 4 usually. And they were a nonprofit, so we just ask for a $5 donation for each person that comes in.
We will tell people it's $10 then.
Thank you.
Absolutely. It's $10 to get in.
Yes, it should be.
And Lizzie gets half of that. You know. Because she doesn't make enough being for a nonprofit. I know what it's like when you're for a nonprofit. This podcast is a nonprofit. Let's put it that way.
Yes, I totally get that. I totally get
so, that. But we have fun with it. Lizzie,
can I plug my film festival?
Please do. Absolutely. Yeah, give out anything else that you want to plug. Please do.
Yeah, it's on the web. It's longpinefilmfestival.org. And you can go on there, and it lists the films that we're going to be showing, the guests that I have confirmed, other guests that I've invited but not confirmed yet would be added later. Hmm. And it lists all the tours that we're doing. Like we have a guy who studied with Ansel Adams, the photographer. Mm-hmm. And he actually was a teenager and took the last workshop Ansel Adams taught in Yosemite. Mm. And he is doing a different kind of tour this year, Ansel Adams at Manzanar. So we've got two Ansel Adams tours. One is Ansel Adams in Lone Pine, the Alabama Hills, basically, and then one that is Ansel Adams photos that he shot for the war. During the war, he shot up at Manzanar. Mm. So that's kind of an interesting, different kind of a twist.
Yeah.
I was noticing too, I just jumped on the website there, you know, of course it says the tours and guides, and you've got horseback riding up there too, though.
Yes, we do. Yes. We work with the McGee Pack Station, and you can sign up. You can go through our website to get to theirs, and you can sign up to do a horseback riding tour. One of the things that I do for the celebrities is I offer them a horseback riding tour. They get only an hour because I need them back for other things.
Right.
I do give them an hour, which, you know, that they really enjoy that. It's just beautiful just to get out there. Yes. And sit out in the rocks. And we have an astronomy tour this year that's not 100% firm yet, but I'm talking with a group who's going to bring their telescopes, and after the last screening of the evening, we'll take a group out and, you know, you can look at the stars. Tell you about the stars. Because you wouldn't believe how dark it is out there.
It is so dark out there.
You can really see the sky.
Yeah, you can't see the stars in L.A., but there's so many when you get out there at night.
Well, if you go to Beverly Hills, you get to see more.
Different kind of stars.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. And then we do a parade. We have a little parade on Sunday for the festival, which is, I say it's with the Hollywood stars and the local stars, because like the FFA, the Future Farmers of America, you know, the little school groups and
4-H club.
Yes, yeah, basically, yeah, all, you know, we just do a parade, a combination parade with the local town people, and because Lone Pine's what, 3.5 blocks long or something. We also
okay.
I know.
You blink and it's gone.
Yeah. The train takes a whole hour.
Wow.
Just because we go really slow.
Lizzie, on some of these things that they have up there, do they do reenactments by chance also?
I do have a reenactment group that usually does with our parade, you know, works with our parade. And hopefully they usually come and hang around and do some stuff here and there during the time. And we have a Hopalon Cassidy lookalike. He goes out on the Hopalon Cassidy tours, so that you turn around and there's Hopalon Cassidy in the rocks where he was in the movie, you know. You know, we do. Yeah. And
I make a really dead looking dead cowboy lookalike. that's me. I just lie there, you know. I'll shoot back and you shoot me, I fall down, and you know, it's pretty easy. It looks like a dead cowboy, you know. So
our veterans of foreign wars, the VFW, they do a pancake breakfast Saturday and Sunday mornings. That's really good food for not very much money, and it supports our veterans. And they also, you know, are a color guard to start our parade. So, I mean, you know, it's a town the whole town pitches in to pull this off.
Sure,
it's,
sure.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's very cool. If you like small town stuff or just neighborhood type stuff, that's kind of the feel that that's totally the feel the town has.
For sure.
You know, but then you have this cool little drop of Hollywood right there. It's just cool. It's just cool.
Yeah, really rich history there.
Yeah. And I would love to broadcast.
Yeah.
That'd be a great road trip. Go up there on a Friday, broadcast Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I'm going to wear my guns, man. I'm going to wear my cowboy outfit and strap on and everything. And
a lot of people. Not everybody, but a lot of people dress up. Pretty much everybody wears, you know, some kind of Western wear. Uh-huh. You know, and if you've got a cowboy hat, you got to wear it.
Oh, I got a few. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Lizzie, it has been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Yes. Thank you so much for coming on the air with us. And again, she is the director.
LonePineFilmFestival.org.
Yeah, go to there. And then also the Museum of Western Film History, where the real West meets the real West. And it's a play on words. It sounds the same, but it's different. Trust us.
It is different.
We know. She spelled it for us, and we know the difference. So, Lizzie, we'll definitely keep in contact with you and try to set something up in the near future. And again, thank you so much for all the information.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And come on by Lone Pine.
Will do.
Yes.
We're talking road trip. All right. Take care. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
She was cool.
Yeah.
I liked her.
Yeah. A lot of cool information, anecdotes, and just history.
And
just,
she's spunky, too. I like her.
Yeah.
I like it when they're spunky. Come on down. What's going on? We got grits. We got bacon going on. We got all of it. Come on down. It's like a little small town. Well, because it's only three blocks long. That's why it's a small town.
It is. You would drive by and you wouldn't really realize it.
I believe it, dude.
And then you stop in and there's just all this history, all this stuff that's just like we spent a long time there and we could have stayed there longer even.
I bet.
Yeah.
Especially with the stuff that they've got and the tours. And, you know, I'm looking at the different accolades that they've got here, too, on the website. I mean, they've got a lot going on, you know, for such a small place.
Yeah.
They have so many things going on.
Yeah.
But like I said, I mean, they've got not just the tours or whatever, but they've got like, they're just talking about there's art in the park. There's the Main Street Parade. There's horseback riding and everything, plus the different films and so forth. And, you know, they obviously do have quite a bit of different types of celebrities coming in from these films and everything. So, I mean, that's just.
Yeah.
Dude, you're not going to see, you know, in Patrick Wayne. I mean, come on.
Yeah, the sons of John Wayne and Robert Mitchum.
Well, and Patrick Wayne was in Young Guns. He was in the first one.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. He played Pat Garrett in the first film.
Oh, did he? He had a short scene with Emilio.
At the beginning?
They talk for a minute.
Yeah.
And
then at the very end or whatever, he had another scene with it.
Oh, right.
Where he warns Billy about, you know.
Yeah.
And he goes,
yeah.
Are you my friend, Pat?
Right, and he turns his back on him.
I am, Bill.
Yeah.
So.
And what Lizzie mentioned that I liked is you really do feel like you get away from L.A. And, you know, it's not a Starbucks on every corner and like, you know, all the drive-thrus. Speaking of drive-thrus, you know, like you do feel like you get away and you get a little taste of that you know, historical Hollywood film set kind of life. It's really cool.
That is really neat. I wonder if our friend Paul Preston knows about this thing.
Huh?
You know, and we all of us can go up there for the weekend.
Talk movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And talk. Oh, dude, I would love to go up there. I really would.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I really would. Yeah, that would be kind of awesome.
I would go again for sure.
This is cool. Dude, I'm so glad you brought this up, man.
Yeah. First place that came to mind when I thought cowboys.
Cowboys, yeah.
So. Mm-mm. And it's cool that they donate too, like Tarantino giving his props from Django and that it's still going on. It's not just sort of a stuck in the past thing, but they're still filming out there. A lot of modern Westerns and Nope with Jordan Peele's just came out. I want to check that out too. Mm-hmm. A sort of Western, different take on a Western with some horror, it sounds like. So
yeah,
some cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get the reference of the Randolph Scott thing though?
I'm not familiar. Remind me.
Blazing Saddles.
Oh, does he yell? Who yells
Randolph Scott? Yeah, because it's a Western, so they film all the Westerns out there. So, yeah.
The West, yeah.
Yeah,
too
Randall
many,
Scott.
Too many good jokes in that one.
Oh, dude. Do I have anything on? Oh, yeah. I got this one here from Blazing Saddles. Let's see.
Do something about this immediately. 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 Harumph, 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 harumph. I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
Give the governor harumph.
Harumph. You watch your ass.
When you're directing extras in the background and you're just like, just say harumph a bunch of times.
Yeah, exactly.
All the extras are
harumph, 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 harumph. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and of course, there's this one, too.
There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry. Lone Star.
Lone Pine.
Oh, well, that was good, man. That was that was pretty cool. Of course, you know, today is also National Tequila Day.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. It is.
I'm sure we'll regret that tomorrow.
Well, it depends on how much you drink, brother. Now, do you have any, like, really bad tequila stories? Or?
I thankfully don't. I think that is so potent. It's one of those ones that when I tasted a little bit of it, I just went, yeah, no. I can't go that hard with the tequila. But you know, a margarita every now and then is good with you know, a Mexican dish, and but no shots for me.
You can't do the shots, or?
I mean, I have before, and it's just like a punch in the face. How about you?
Really? I'll have a regular margarita anywhere. You know, it doesn't matter to me. You know, but if I'm going to drink it straight,
yeah,
it's got to be Cabo Wabo.
See, that's the thing. Is that a
Sammy Hagar?
Hagar? Yeah, I was going to say, to be honest, I've only tried the bad stuff, so I have not tried a good one. So maybe
this outdoes like Jose Cuervo and stuff. You know, Cuervo says, "Oh, we've been doing it for this long."
Right.
And it's they have won awards, you know, and I'll give them credit, you know, but the Hagar one, man, it is smooth.
Is it? Cabo Wabo.
Yeah, Cabo Wabo. And then now he's got a rum that he's doing too.
Oh, is he?
But today is tequila day, so we've got some tweets for you guys regarding tequila.
Tequila.
Yeah, we just said that. All right.
Pee Wee Herman's on the table dancing right now.
So here we go. Here's the first one. Hakuna tequila. That means no memories.
Oh, stop trying to make everyone happy. Remember, you're not a tequila.
Exactly. You ain't ugly, but you're 10 tequila shots away from being my type.
Taking shots of tequila is just another way of saying, I like where I wake up to always be a surprise.
And after that, you go, well played, tequila. Well played.
I want my tequila and sailor salty.
Tequila.
There you go. And let's see here. Of course I had my shots of tequila.
No one's worried about getting those shots, right?
Uh-uh.
If you want beautiful memories, drink tequila. If you want to forget everything, finish the whole bottle.
That makes a lot of sense. It really does. Tequila is cheaper than therapy.
True.
I think so.
Quicker. Probably see results faster. Vote for tequila. You're making the right choice. I'm gonna put that on your bumper.
Oh God, that's so true to a degree. You know there is some truth to that. You know, I love it. I love it. Let's see here. I'm on a tequila diet. So far, I've lost 2 days.
Oh boy. What day is it, huh? Tequila won't solve your problems, but it's worth a shot.
I see what they did there.
Yeah, they did.
I didn't text you. Tequila did.
That's a good alibi.
Yeah.
Too much tequila can leave you wondering where your clothes are.
Yeah, there's a song about that.
Yeah.
Tequila made your clothes come off. Yeah, that's very true. All right, let's see where we are. Tequila. It helps people lower their standards.
Oh, boy. Give me coffee for the things I can change and tequila for those I can't. Serenity now.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the last one.
Tequila.
This tequila tastes like I won't be at work tomorrow.
Oh, love that.
So there you go, guys. Some tweets there regarding tequila. And, of course, a great song by the Champs, of course. I like it, man. It's a good sax.
One hit wonders?
Probably, I think so.
Yeah. Well, they made it. They made a good one.
Yeah, he did. So there's our tweets there. All right. Well, you know, Hollywood, you know, we've had, you know, we're talking about some great actors there, some Western actors, John Wayne and so forth, and just kind of that we've lost over the years, though. And, you know, there's some legendary actors, I think, that are coming up, you know, that are a little bit older than us that we grew up with, though. But are they still good looking enough? That's the big question. Mm. I think the answer is yes.
To all of them?
I would say so. To most of them. I mean, so let's take the women first. Okay. Over the age of 60.
Uh-huh.
All right. Cheryl Ladd.
Was she a Charlie's Angel?
Yeah.
She was. Cheryl Ladd. I have not heard that name in a minute.
I saw a recent pick. Not bad.
Okay.
I wouldn't kick her out.
Okay.
I would kick her out.
Well, it might break a hip if you...
Well, that too. Yeah, you got to be careful with her.
But yeah, that's a bad joke. Sorry. Sorry, Cheryl.
But truthful.
Wendy Malick, I think, Just Shoot Me, very tall, statuesque.
My
actor.
Introduction to her was when she was in the movie The American President.
Oh, she was like on the staff Michael Douglas film.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she was part of the opposition, though.
Oh, okay. She was in the political world.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Oh, she's funny too. She's
really
funny.
She was great in that.
Yeah, yeah.
She
yeah.
was great in that. I'm going, yeah, that's a sexy lady there, 66 years old. Not bad, not bad. Bernadette Peters.
I like this one. Yeah.
Oh.
Broadway and The Jerk. If you like The Jerk, she's really funny, really talented.
68, you know.
68. Wow.
Yeah. Jane Seymour.
Oh, my.
Come on, dude.
She's in, like, every Hallmark movie nowadays as, like, the mom.
Yeah. And her son just got married, too, recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw something about that, so.
Okay.
But Jane Seymour, yeah, 65, dude. Yeah. I take a piece of that.
British.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
And, of course, we've got to with this lady, Raquel Welch.
Raquel Welch seems kind of ageless, in my opinion.
I think I went through puberty 3 times with her.
Recently?
Yeah, that too. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Honey, never mind. Where's my Raquel Welch pictures?
You have that poster on the wall?
It's on the ceiling, baby.
Digging a hole behind it there. Renee Russo. another classic blockbuster film actress.
Yeah, there was a film, and there's another actor that we're probably going to get to when we do the guys.
Uh-huh.
But she was in a movie called The Intern.
Hmm.
With, oh, God, what's her name?
De Niro?
De Niro.
De Niro.
And Anne
Hathaway.
Hathaway.
Oh, she was in that?
She was still sexy. I mean, she was that sexy older woman. And, oh, my God, she still looked good.
Oh, my God. Lethal Weapon. Outbreak. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This one, I don't know. I can go either way on. I didn't like her even when she was younger.
I'm with you on this one.
Morgan Fairchild.
There's something... off about her. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
why,
I'm sure she's a nice lady.
Yes,
you know, I'm sure she's a wonderful lady. You know, always presented herself well. I think and everything. But I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
this one I could go back and forth on with certain things because there's times I like her and other times I don't.
Uh huh.
But Kim Basinger.
Kim Basinger. I mean, in the '80s, there wasn't many above her. Like, and then did you see her cartoon version in Cool World?
Yes.
With Brad Pitt.
Oh, I mean, I think that's my favorite version of her.
When you have a cartoon version, I mean, that's pretty good.
I mean, she's no Jessica Rabbit, but it comes pretty damn close.
Right. Oh, yeah, Kathleen Turner's not on here.
Yeah.
But could be.
Could be.
Could be.
Could be. Now, this one, this next one, I would all the time, all the time. You know, and she, of course, she was married to
Billy Joel. She's an uptown girl.
Yeah, Christie Brinkley. Still looks good.
I only think of one thing, and that's the convertible down the highway. She's passing Chevy Chase.
Oh,
and she's just like, she was like every husband's dream, like just going, oh, yeah. I'm sure one day a blonde is going to pass me in a convertible and...
Oh, God. Let it be Christie Brinkley. Let it be Christie Brinkley.
And not a fat truck driver.
Who looks like Christie Brinkley.
Or that.
Yeah. And of course, Susan Lucci.
The Emmy-nominated soap opera.
She's 70. I think that's how many nominations she's also gotten.
That's all I'm familiar with. I've never seen a Susan Lucci production, but yes, her Emmy noms are.
I think she's aged gracefully. You know, overall, I know I'm like I don't know, but
she's in that Morgan Fairchild department, kind of.
Last choice, but I respect her though.
Yes,
you know, but I respect her. But this next lady.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Even there was an episode of Two and a Half Men with her in it.
Yeah.
Regarding how good looking she still is. Yeah. And that's the great Linda Carter.
Linda Carter. Yeah.
Wonder Woman. Oh my God. Yes.
I mean, is she basically the first female superhero? Because
I think so.
That adds into the mystique and the mythos of Linda Carter. Is if she wasn't Wonder Woman. I mean, that builds her up in a way.
Okay, now you got me wondering, because I don't know if you remember or not, but Sid and Marty Krofft did a TV show back in the 70s also, Saturday morning kind of thing, where there was a female superhero called Isis.
I do not remember.
And
that.
It had to do with the...
The mythological?
Isis kind of a thing.
Egyptian goddess?
Yeah. And the lady was kind of like an Indiana Jones. She was an archaeologist or whatever, and she came upon the pendant of Isis, and then she could call upon the god, and she would be a superhero.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll check that out.
So now I'm wondering which one came first on television.
Okay.
Was it Wonder Woman? Or was it Isis?
Yeah, good trivia question to find out.
Tune in next week, folks, when we find out which way is it going to go.
That sounds better than Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
Yeah, but, you know, find out next week on our show. Wonder Woman or Isis?
And rounding out the list of women over 60 is Jamie Lee Curtis.
You know what my favorite movie is of hers?
Which?
True Lies.
True Lies.
Oh my God.
She's aged really well too. Just looks great. You know, eating that yogurt that makes her stay young, and you know, she's got in the genes from her
dad Tony Curtis.
Yeah. I don't know if her mom was an actor too, but Tony.
I think so. Because here, let me look it up real quick here. See.
I prefer Halloween personally. I'm a big Halloween fan.
Well, she is the queen scream.
Yeah, and I think they're putting out one more Halloween. I heard
they are.
Well, Halloween
and they
ends
say that will finally all these years,
unless it's a hit, and then they'll
go on
just
again.
One more final
Halloween 84.
Right?
No, we mean how many sequels, not the year.
Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, Jamie Lee.
Let's see here, Jamie Lee Curtis. I can't remember. I know her mom is also famous, though.
I thought she was, too.
I just can't think of it right now.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis, born in 1958. And I'm sure people are screaming either at their phones right now. Janet Leigh.
That's it. I was thinking of a Hitchcock actress. Janet Leigh, yeah.
Yeah, Janet Leigh. And Tony Curtis.
Oh, and her middle name's Lee, but spelled differently.
Right, right.
I see.
And, of course, she's married to the famous actor Christopher Guest.
I love Christopher Guest. Love his movies.
Anything that man does.
He should be putting out a movie as many times as Halloween does, because we need more Christopher Guest movies.
We do.
And a little less Halloween.
We do. We totally do. I love him in Princess Bride.
Great. Another actor with range. We were talking about actors with range. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he also played... oh, God. I can't remember the character, though. But he came out in Night at Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian.
Oh, was he in that?
Yeah.
I know he was a dramatic part in A Few Good Men. Tom Cruise is interrogating Stan, and he's in that.
And, of course, that's because he's friends with Rob Reiner, who directed the film, who did Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap, yep.
So,
yep.
It's all connected,
it
baby.
It is. It's all who you know.
So, and of course, I mean, all of his improv movies that he's done.
Love those. Love Guffman, Waiting for Guffman, and Best in Show. Just hilarious.
Best in Show is so good. And then so's A Mighty Wind.
Mighty Wind, yeah. With all the
and to me, music. To me, that was just Spinal Tap with folk music.
Correct. Yeah. And yeah, the ensembles in those movies are just so solid, so funny.
Absolutely.
He should be on our Hollywood Sexiest Male Celebrities Over 60 for his sense of humor alone.
Exactly. So, yeah, I agree with you there, because he's a funny guy.
Yeah.
I
Are we going to switch to the men now?
So, yeah, let's go to the guys. And there's a lot of men on here. I would totally agree because they have aged very well.
Yeah.
So these
yeah.
are Hollywood's sexiest male celebrities over 60. The great Dustin Hoffman, 84. Still looks good at this age.
84, Dustin. Richard Gere at 72.
He's kind of had a resurgence, I think, after he did Chicago.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know. Yeah, showing that side. Yeah.
Showing that side of things. So, and he's 72.
Yeah. One of my favorites, the dude, Jeff Bridges, 72.
Also, I think aged very well.
And he just recently said that, in his opinion, Iron Man that he's in is the best of the Marvel movies was his opinion.
Well, because he's in it.
He's in it, right?
I promote the hell of him, too.
I would
absolutely.
Say that, too.
And, of course, you got the great Robert De Niro. 78.
Yeah.
Still an attraction. And like I said, he was in that, we were talking about, he was in that movie Intern.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in there, he's just that lovable kind of older gentleman.
Yeah.
And you fall in love, and you go, I could still see him being, he's obviously a lead, can be a lead romantic kind of player in that aspect. So, yeah, absolutely. This gentleman has definitely aged, I thought, very well, is Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah. Oh, another British
actor. That
British accent doesn't hurt, right?
No. No.
This one you've mentioned to me before. You're a fan of Hector Elizondo.
So good.
Yeah, yeah.
So good. And he, I mean, his character, every character he does is with class.
Yes.
Is what it is, you know. And if you watch any Gary Marshall film, he's in it in some way, shape, or form.
Right, right.
No matter what. Whether it was Pretty Woman or whether it was Princess Diaries.
And you're glad to see him on screen. He comes on screen and you go, oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
I remember him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, one of those guys.
And again, aged very well.
Yeah.
Very well. So, Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, a lot of people love it, doing Jeff Goldblum impersonations. And,
yeah. And of course, oh, well, real quick, Hector's 85 now, though.
Oh,
you know?
Really?
Yeah. So the man still's got it, you know.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum is 69. He's you know, pushing that 70 there.
Yeah.
And of course, everybody's favorite Batman,
Michael Keaton. Very funny guy. Multiplicity, where he plays clones of himself.
Yeah.
Beetlejuice, of course.
But then also, you know, became the Batman. A lot of people criticized him for that.
Yeah.
And he did. He's one of the best ones.
Yeah.
You know, and to the point now where the new Flash movie that's coming out, he's reprising his role.
I heard that.
As Batman, you know, from that same thing. And he's put on the bat suit again and everything and so forth. So
that movie needs it because they're going to probably cut the Flash out of the Flash with all of his troubles.
Yeah. It'll
just be a Batman movie.
Go back to Batman.
Oh, another, not Brit, but is he Scottish? Liam Neeson.
Yeah, he's aged very well.
Is he Irish?
Something. He's one of them.
Liam Neeson.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite actors. Started off with doing Disney films.
Yeah, younger actor at the time.
Yeah, you know, got to work with Walt Disney himself. Has now ended up playing Mr. Nobody, but he's somebody.
Yeah.
And in any film that man is in, I will watch.
Yeah.
Like when he starred in and became Mr. Nobody in the whole Fast and Furious.
Mm-hmm.
I had no interest in those films at all, whatsoever, until I went, wait, Kurt Russell's in it? Aw, shit. Now I got to go and watch it. I got to go and watch it.
Like it's a job to do now.
It is.
A villain in the Guardians of the Galaxy,
mm-hmm.
taking on these big franchise movies lately. So
I mean, he's just done so. And then, what was the Quentin Tarantino one that he did? Another Western.
One where they're in the cabin. Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight.
Yeah. Another surprising, kind of a risky role to take on, and he did really good with it.
There's not a bad role that he can do. You know, like there was even a cute little movie that we watched recently where, what was it called? Hero High or?
Oh, Sky High?
Or Sky High.
The superhero. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As bad as it looks.
Right.
Because it looks really bad.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's,
you know, it's a neat film. Yeah. We watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
But Kurt Russell, he can't make a scene look bad.
Yeah, he's very charismatic.
And even in a I want to say a bad film, but a film like that, we kind of go, really?
Yeah.
He's good. He's so good. Kurt Russell, 71. Enough of Kurt Russell.
Let me do the next one because I'm a big fan of Kevin Costner.
Mm.
And what's interesting to me is he just makes good films, in my opinion. I don't think he's necessarily like the greatest actor, but he's good looking and he makes really good films. Like I love Dances with Wolves. Speaking of Westerns, that one didn't come up. Love Field of Dreams. I think it's a guy thing kind of, but like his movies, you know, even like The Bodyguard or
oh, that really made him too. Yeah.
You know, just his series Yellowstone, just like really good.
Oh, so good.
You know, I like him a lot.
One of my favorite films that he did, it's a baseball film called I lost it.
The Perfect Game one?
No. Yes, The Perfect Game one. For the Love of the Game.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. So good.
Yeah, yeah. Another one. Well, Kelly Preston, another.
You know, and he's just made really good choices through his career where he's kind of really picked and choose certain things. Of course, he was in Silverado. We talked about that earlier.
Yeah, he loves the Western genre.
Yeah.
Local Fullerton.
And there's another one, too, that he did with Robert Duvall.
Oh, yeah, Open Range.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think he did a Wyatt Earp movie.
Which wasn't really
he goes for it, you know?
But he did. He tried his best. I mean, and he still had a good cast in that one, too.
Yeah.
You know, because he had Dennis Quaid play Doc Holliday in that one.
Yeah.
And Dennis Quaid did a really good job. Yeah. It wasn't a Val Kilmer. It was a little bit different take, but did a good job.
Or even Draft Day, which is a movie about the draft, and you're like, how would this work? And they made it suspenseful, and they made
it
interesting.
Every time that movie is on, my wife and son have to watch it.
Really?
Yeah. Matter of fact, there's a school assignment where Roman did for his production class, and he had to re-edit a trailer for Draft Day.
Oh, cool.
So, you know.
All
right, let's finish this up because it's almost time to go right now.
All right. Well, a lot of people love this Brit, Paul McCartney.
Well, he is the cutest.
Yep.
He is the cutest Beatle, 75 years old, along with Harrison Ford, also 75.
Also 75. The great mustachioed Tom Selleck coming in at 73.
Yep.
Can't go wrong with him.
And, of course, we mentioned this person earlier, Tom Hanks at 66, wide range, you know, great actor. And, of course, the great Denzel Washington. Denzel. All of these men, leading men, good-looking men, too.
Ageless Denzel.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got the secret of something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And he does it very well. So, all right, there we go, guys. Those are the sexiest people in Hollywood over 60 years old. So if you think that 60 is the new 30, good, it is. So
I hope so.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? That kind of calls it for today, guys. We hope you enjoyed it. And we want you guys to join us next week as well, because hopefully we'll have a little bit more fun.
Yes.
And don't forget to check out that museum there.
Lone Pine Film Lone Festival. Pine.
Check out the festival. It is lonepinefilmfestival.org. And also it is, why am I forgetting the name on the museum, though?
The Museum of Western Film History.
There you go. Where the real West meets the
real
West.
Yes.
There you go. I love that slogan.
I love it.
All right, guys, so the show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page is Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram, follow us at yourweeklydose1.
See you next week, everybody.
Oh, and don't forget, guys, you can listen to Delmarva, all of our past episodes on Delmarva Talk Radio from 7 a.m. to Wednesday through Friday mornings, and on Lime City Radio at noon Wednesday through Friday. And, of course, if you guys have enjoyed the show, please don't forget to tell your friends about us, because we can't grow the show without you. So have a good weekend and spread the word. Be good to each other. Take care, folks. A six-gun lover, a gamble in the wind. Yeah!
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at Your Weekly Dose. We'll see you next week.